No. I can't do it.
You can't conceal evidence.
No. The other.
You won't tell Hopkins what you know?
What I know is unofficial. What he knows is official. Once he does have all the facts, he must disclose them or be a traitor to his service. Is it right to put him in so painful a position in so doubtful a case?
There's still doubt in your mind as to who the killer is?
None. I must know more before I act.
What's our next move, then?
We shall go in for a word with Hopkins. I can't leave the poor fellow entirely in the dark. Come along.
Mr. Holmes, I believe sometimes that you are a wizard.
I assure you, Hopkins, my powers are not supernatural.
Then how on earth could you know the stolen silver was at the bottom of that pond?
I didn't know it.
But you sent me a note suggesting it.
A suggestion only. The idea came to me that if the silver had been taken by persons who didn't really want it, who took it merely as a blind.
A blind?
Yes, and it were a blind. Only a suggestion. And just outside that French window was a frozen pond.
Of course, with one temptingly convenient little hole in the ice. A most cunning hiding place.
Ah, a hiding place. Yes, that's better. I see it now. It was early, folk upon the roads. Our thieves sank their booty in the pond.
Intending to return for it.
When the coast was clear. Excellent, Mr. Holmes.
Don't praise me, Hopkins. That's another of your simple and convincing theories. Well, yours and Watson's. Any other developments to report?
Yes. A development absolutely fatal to my case.
How so?
The three Randalls were arrested last night.
Right. Good, surely.
In New York.
Ah. Rather difficult for them to commit a murder in Kent the night before.
So, now I must look for another gang of three, and perhaps a new one of which we never heard.
Well, if you feel you must, we'd best leave you to get on with it. Watson and I have another appointment. Good day to you, Hopkins.
Good day, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson.
What other gang is there? So like the Randalls.
None at all, Watson.
Then why let Hopkins think so?
I've given him nothing but the truth. He must act on it as he sees fit.
But not all the truth.
I don't have it all yet.
What's this appointment of ours?
First, the Charing Cross Telegraph Office to arrange the appointment, and then Baker Street.
Two hours later, with dinner over and a cheerful blaze in the fireplace, all was ready for the final scene of this remarkable drama. I was in my customary armchair. Holmes stood with his back to the fire, pipe in hand. And framed in the doorway was a very tall young man, golden-moustached, blue-eyed, with a skin which had been burned by tropical sun.
So, you got my telegram, Captain Croker?
I got it. And here I am. At the hour you said. I hear you've been down at the shipping office.
So I have. The Adelaide Southampton line, and there I heard nothing but good of you. Loyal, honest, kind-hearted,
but why?
If somewhat hot-headed and excitable, when off duty.
I've had no trouble with the law.
I believe it. Mr. Jack Croker, first officer of the Rock of Gibraltar, among whose passengers in June 95 were a Miss Fraser of Adelaide and her maid. First officer Croker has subsequently been made captain, and his home is in Sydenham, not far from Chicago.
Enough of this cat and mouse. What do you want of me?
Firstly, I want your confirmation that on that voyage you made the acquaintance of Miss Fraser.
What if I did?
And you admired her. Deeply. I loved her.
Loved. From the first day, she was the only woman to me.
And her feelings for you?
From her. Friendship. Good comradeship.
In 95. And now?
Where's this leading? What do you plan to do with me, Arrest me? I don't see what you want.
A full account of what took place at Abbey Grange the night before last, and bear this in mind. I know so much already that I'll see if you go one inch off the straight. Play tricks with me, and I'll crush you. Be frank, and we'll see. Sit down, Captain Croker.
All right.
I'll chance it.